Yeah, PMD, I feel incredibly privileged right now. This is actually, I just got the studio in my house up and running. As you can see, it's a meager start, but I have a hip-hop legend in the house. Fife, what's going on, man?
What's up? Chilling, man.
Fife Dawg from A Tribe Called Quest hanging out, man. Tell me what it is that's going on, why you're in town, what it is you're doing, man.
Hanging out with my man Roots, promoting new singles. You know what I'm saying? We have a label called Smoking Needles Records. You know what I mean? We have a production team by the name of Rhythm Kids, but we pronounce it Rhythm, as in West Indian terminology. Right. You know what I'm saying? We both from Trinidad and Tobago. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely had to put that to the forefront of everything
that's
we
hot.
Do.
And there's a new album coming as well, right?
Yeah, Songs in the Key of Fife. Oh, that's one, the throwback album, but got to do the Tribe album first. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, oh, the Tribe album's coming first.
Most likely. Well, for me, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk. Obviously, I didn't want to, you know, jump right into that, but no. I will tell you right now. I told you it's the first time I met you back in the day. I mean, I'm 24 years old, so I was like 14 in 1993 when Midnight Marauders dropped. I mean, Tribe Called Quest is my favorite group ever. Any musical genre, you guys are my favorite group of all time. So naturally, I was upset after the breakup, and we talked about some stuff, and we'll go back to that. But I heard rumors of you guys getting back together. Probably started like a year ago that I started hearing about it.
Right.
Tell me what the progress is and what's happening.
Right now, we still working little kinks out here and there. You know what I mean? But it'll get done eventually. I can't say exactly when, but hopefully, we'll drop by the top of the year, top of the new year. You know what I'm saying?
With Jive?
Yeah, we owed him one more album.
So you got to get this one, done before you can try to do anything else.
Exactly.
When I talked to you last time, I interviewed you in like a hotel kitchen or something in College Park, Maryland, and we talked. And you, at the time, you and Tip weren't on great terms, and at the time, you expressed disappointment. And I agreed with you, frankly, as a fan. I was disappointed a little bit with Amplified and some of the performances Tip had done at the time. But I know that your guys' friendship came first and was the most important thing. But tell me basically how you got back where you are now, that you're able to, the Tribe Called Quest is able to get back together.
Well, first of all, before we were teammates, so to speak, we were always friends. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've known dudes since we were like 2 years old. And then I finally met Ali during our high school days. You know what I'm saying? But, it's been, even from high school up to now, it's been years. You know what I'm saying? At least 15 or 18 years that I've known Ali, and then Q-Tip, I've known him for like 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
Tribe Called Quest, whether there was Tribe Called Quest or wasn't a Tribe Called Quest, that's still my boy. You know what I'm saying? If anything was to jump off with him in a negative fashion, I'd feel the worst out of anybody next to his family. You know what I'm saying? And I personally feel like we are family like that. So, yeah, we had our little fallouts and everything, but everybody does. You know what I'm saying? At least whom you refer to as family, they're going to have fallouts and so forth and so on. But we cool, man. Everything is love.
Like when I talked to you, it seemed that way. I was like, when people asked me about it, I was like, well, yeah, he seemed a little bit like about Amplified, but like I could see that you loved him like a brother. And as a fan, I always could tell that. I mean, it's like, yeah. I knew you guys have been friends since you were, you know, tiny kids. So I knew that you guys, as much as the music shit will mess,
yeah,
with people,
I think,
knew it wasn't going to destroy your friendship.
I think Amplified was a cool album, but for him, it was just an okay album. You know what I'm saying? Because I know him inside and out as far as his musical status. He's crazy with it. You know what I'm saying? When he gets on a roll, there's not too much you can do to slow him down.
Right.
And so Amplified to me was like, maybe he rushed it or had a lot of people in his ear, but the stuff he's doing now as we speak, he's incredible.
So Tip has a production deal now with a major, right? Isn't he doing an album?
DreamWorks.
With DreamWorks, that's right.
Yeah.
And so he's doing another album.
Yeah, he's gonna do another album. He has a couple of artists that he's about to put out. Everything sounded good. He has a band that he works with on the constant.
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean? So
I personally like the Kamal the Abstract. I got the single that came out.
It was different,
but it was cool.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, in order to, like, get people to come into it and understand where he was going, I thought he should have produced it for somebody else first.
Right.
Because, you know, as a producer, they know him from most of the Tribe tracks, stuff he's done for Mobb Deep. But he took what he was known for and just went all the way over here. He just jumped.
And that's scary for a lot of for audience.
Right, especially in America because it's so tender-headed. Yeah. They love to be spoon-fed all the time.
Yeah.
So I figured Tip would have been, he would have came off more so if he would have produced it for somebody or he would have did a single for maybe a soundtrack or two and just baby-stepped his way to it.
But
and they
would have
got used to it. But he just came. Boom!
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody's like, you know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate. And it's like, it's hard to tell somebody, yo, you shouldn't do it like that when they work hard on it day in and day out.
And it may, in fact, be good music.
It just it's good music.
Just people just aren't ready for it.
Exactly. In America, they're not ready for it. He would have came off overseas, but Tip don't go overseas that much. So.
That's so funny because I feel like you guys would be so huge overseas.
Actually, we are. It's a lot of these rappers right now. No disrespect, but they can't touch us over there.
Oh,
It's crazy for us over there. We can't walk the streets over there.
No, I would imagine. I mean, because over there, they're so into hip-hop. And, I mean, without sounding cliched, you guys are, like, the essence of classic hip-hop.
I just went over there, like, 2 weeks ago, London, with De La. And they're still huge over there. It's like, and I just made a little guest appearance on the stage with them. It's crazy. They fiending over there.
And so you guys, the whole, as far as De La and the whole native tongue situation is, you guys are all still, you know, in cahoots to some degree.
Yeah. I speak to De La on a constant. Jungle, like Mike, I seen Mike like last, Mike G. I seen him like last summer in Atlanta. We kicked it. Then me and Roots and Jerobi did a show with them in Cleveland. So it was cool, you know what I'm saying? That's the last time I saw him, though, in Cleveland, like last summer.
I was saying, me and my brother were always talking about how De La's an incredible group and that they came out when so many other, quote-unquote, old-school rappers came out, yet De La, for some reason, isn't, they're just still a current group. De La's not really like, no one thinks of De La Soul as old-school, like they've maintained with the times over the last 15 years.
Yeah, they have, but for some reason or another, people just continue to sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep. I mean, they come out with the most amazing albums to me. I'm talking the way it's sequenced. Lyrically, they're always going to be over people's heads. But they might as well keep doing it like that. Because they've always been like that. Even when they were selling a bunch of records with 3 Feet High and Rising. And,
oh, they were still
in a
place.
The De La's Dead album. You know what I mean? They, I don't think they should ever stop that. But it seems like the generations are getting more tender-headed as we go along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, you lose. I think they're such pure artists in that sense that who you lose, you lose. And
yeah.
All right, you want to hang out? You want to hang out for a minute? We'll play some classic Tribe.
No doubt.
Come back. Talk a little bit more with Fight from Tribe Called Quest. Uh huh. Back with Fight from a Tribe Called Quest. Does it ever bother you to get perpetually introduced as Fight from a Tribe Called Quest? Are you so proud? You still so proud to be introduced as Fight from a Tribe Called Quest?
Oh, that. It don't matter to me, but yeah, I like it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm not mad at you.
Tribe. I mean, because before I'm an actual member of Tribe, I'm a fan of Tribe. You know what I'm saying? So Fight from Tribe Called Quest is all good.
So you really, so you would personally rank your guys' albums among the best hip-hop albums ever?
I pretty much rather let the fans do that. I mean, I guess I'm taking my portion of humble pie right now. But I'd rather the fans do that. The true hip hop lovers and purists, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather let them do that, you know, because there's a lot of people that still decide on Midnight and Low End.
I'm one of them. I was thinking about it today.
And it's all good, but I'd rather let them do it. My personal favorite is Low End, though. You know what I'm saying?
I think Low End has. I think for me, Low End has to be the best. It's the most. I think it's the most innovative. Just different, special album you guys did. And Midnight, I think I actually enjoy Midnight Marauders more, though. I think I actually enjoy the entire thing through. Mm-hmm. But also part of that is because as a fan, like Scenario got, I love Scenario, but obviously got so played out that at this point, like when I hear it, it's like I've heard it in every old school mix every day. So right. Like I kind of skipped through it. Whereas with Midnight, I kind of, nothing really got that played out. I mean, War Tour got pretty played out, but not to the degree that Scenario just got burned. And we can edit it. You can.
Yeah.
If you got anything you got to say off the mic, don't worry, because we're recording everything dry, so I can just chop the shit out. Okay. So it's not a big deal. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love them both, and I've debated it myself. But either way, I think when it's all said and done, Low End and Midnight Marauders hang out in that top, you know, top 10 to 15 hip hop albums of all time. Right. And one of them, I don't know which, is like in the top 5 range. I just wouldn't know which one to choose on any given day.
I mean, yeah, I don't know neither, because I have so many albums that I loved.
Well, tell me some other albums that you just worship.
I'm going to try to put it in order as best as
okay,
I can.
Okay.
Great Adventures of Slick Rick. Biz Markie's Going Off.
Okay.
Criminal Minded, BDP. By Any Means Necessary, BDP.
Yeah, two good ones.
Edutainment, BDP.
Wow, Edutainment. People don't usually say that
one. The album was fire to me. I'm missing. Paid in Full, Eric B. and Rakim. Run DMC, self-titled. Run DMC, Raising Hell.
That's a good one.
EPMD, Strictly Business, Unfinished Business. The whole works.
Is your favorite rap group in the world still EPMD?
Yeah.
And also, by the way, I interviewed Parrish a few weeks ago, and we had a battle for PMD supremacy, which came out a tie, but that's neither here nor there. But I told him, I was like, you know, it's funny I've been in hip hop now for a minute, for like 10, 15 years. Whenever I talk to anyone, it's like once they say their favorite group's EPMD, they're pretty much cool with me. Like, generally, no one with bad taste ranks EPMD as their favorite group. Like, they're just such a classic hip-hop group.
They were just consistent for me. It's like, you knew they always gonna come.
Every time.
You know what I mean?
What about, you have an NWA albums up there? Or The Chronic?
Yeah. Niggas for Life. And Straight Outta Compton, definitely. Easy Does It. Easy E's joint.
Yeah, Easy Does It was good, too.
Oh, yeah, that was hot. He was once a thug from around the way.
Almost. It's a pretty thorough album.
Kool G Rap's Road to the Riches.
A good one, too.
Long Live the Kane.
Long Live the Kane has to be high. But see, now you're out of order, right? Because with Long Live the Kane
Now I'm just like...
Now you're just popping them off.
One of my favorites that I did leave out, though, I'm playing myself. De La Soul is Dead. Stakes is High, De La Soul.
Wow. What about Blue Mindset? It's a good one, too.
That was cool. It wasn't my favorite, though, but I did like it. One for All, Brand Nubian.
Oh, One for All is a great one, too.
That album was hot.
Yeah.
Main Source, Breaking Adams.
Breaking Adams is cool. I mean,
we could go on for days.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're hanging out pretty much all between, like, you know, 90 and 93.
Exactly.
Like, this, all this stuff. Just one. That's why.
Critical Beatdown, Ultra Magnetic.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
That was hot.
I'm also a huge DITC person. Yeah, I mean, I loved Runaway Slave. And
that was hot.
And actually, I'll be honest. And actually, getting more recent in the last 5, 6, 7 years, I love Capital Punishment too. I hold Capital Punishment in very high regard.
He was different.
What did you think about? Were you a Pun fan?
Yeah, definitely. He was in his own world to me. You know what I'm saying? Very cocky, not arrogant, but cocky in a way like you can't see me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I like that. Same thing with Jay-Z. Very sarcastic, you know what I'm saying, with his flow. But you can't front, even though you're looking at him like, who do you think you are? You're bobbing your head hard. Like, yo, this dude is killing it straight up and down.
And the bottom line is they both talk a lot of smack, but they both have such respect for the game. Like, Jay-Z and Pun, I think, both loved hip-hop.
Yeah, definitely.
So much.
Definitely. I mean, Jay-Z been through a lot just to get where he is.
How does it feel for an artist like you, who Jay-Z, who's probably undeniably the most famous rapper on the planet at this point, or him and Eminem, both of them, but it doesn't matter because both of them grew up, but when they were coming up as MCs, loved A Tribe Called Quest, aspired to be on the same plane as A Tribe Called Quest.
You think so?
I mean, how could they not? I mean, you guys, Jigga, let's see. I mean, In My Lifetime came out in what, 96 or 95, whatever it was, 94, 94.
Reasonable Doubt,
but he leaked that single on Payday. Okay. The single came out like 94, 95.
Right.
And M at that point is doing Hills freestyles and trying to be a rapper, blah, blah, blah. There's no chance. I mean, if you were into hip hop, Tribe was one of your favorite groups. That's impossible to be anything else.
Right.
And these cats are now the most, you know, and you guys achieve fame to I mean, your fanship, I think, runs as deep as anyone's in the game. But I'm just saying their actual fame is so huge for the hip-hop world. They took kind of fame to the next level as far as being, like, international superstars. Right. And these cats are, I mean, who I imagine worship the work that you guys did. I mean, that has to feel good. You guys are like true pioneers of the game.
If that's the case, I truly appreciate it.
I've interviewed M or Jay-Z. I've interviewed, tons of accomplished rappers, and Tribe is always mentioned as people's. It almost goes without saying. It's like, oh, well, Tribe Called Quest, clearly. Cool. I mean, people hold you in that kind of regard. Cool. And what makes it so interesting is then you meet, I mean, I grew up right here. You saw my neighborhood. I grew up two blocks from here. I'm in Chevy Chase, Maryland. It's as suburban as you can get right here. Uh-huh. And yet every girl I know, girls that I know in this neighborhood have 2, 3, 4 Tribe Called Quest albums in their CD book.
That's cool.
I mean, it's just, how do you feel about, like, the range of people you guys have affected with your music? Because it runs deeper than most.
I just look at it as a true blessing, just a straight-up blessing to come where we came from, St. Albans, Queens, just walking around the block, going to the block parties, bugging out, kicking rhymes back and forth to where we are now. It's just definitely a blessing. There's no other way I can really explain it. I'm just, praying that the blessings will continue to be bestowed upon us, you know what I mean?
That being said, have you guys done anything yet? Have you recorded anything or no?
I can't say. we doing it big. We doing
but
it.
But you guys are gonna have such pressure. I mean, when the record drops, there was pressure every time you guys came out. But now the pressure is gonna be so high to have a hit.
Because we've been gone for like six years.
It's been a minute.
You know what I mean? But I mean, I think it's gonna be fun. I'm really not looking at it as, oh my god. I'm really not looking at it like that. I'm looking at it like, yo, they want it. We gotta give it to them. That's it.
And do you think is Jive going to put you guys through the crap like the, we got to get Tribe on TRL on the 24th and we got to get, I mean, you guys have to deal with the same BS everyone else does?
I think we're going to have to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to look at it as BS. I think it's just part of promotion. You know what I'm saying? And it's gotten bigger since we left, back in 98. Best promotion is self-promotion. So if it's TRL, if it's 106 in Park, whatever, we got to do it.
Is Jive excited about the prospect? Or are they still being?
Oh, they're excited. They're definitely excited because they know. They know, man. They know they had a good thing. And it's funny how life works because when we broke up, we were still on Violator Management. Chris Lighty, Chris Lighty is now the VP at Jive.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's pretty easy for us. You know what I'm saying?
So you guys are real still cool with Lighty?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because you're one of aren't you guys up there on the among the original Violator acts, right?
Exactly, but he started as a road manager for Jungle. You know what I mean? So it's beyond the business with us. It's like family for real. You know what I mean? So
that makes the situation a lot more pleasant.
Exactly.
And it seems like that was one of the things that was really pushing you guys out of the game.
Exactly.
Was how unpleasant it was.
So now we have a personal relationship with somebody who we've had a tug of war with during the managerial days and stuff, but it was never out of love. He was just trying to help us to win. We were trying to help him to win. You know what I'm saying? But it's personal now, and we're going to make it happen.
Why don't you choose a record for me to play? I'll play either, I can play something. Can play
a Tribe record?
We can play a Tribe record, play something off Ventilation. You choose something you want me to play. We can play a couple. You choose some stuff.
All righty.
B-side, I got everything. I think I have basically everything you ever did. So
1-2-1-2. 1-2.
The Busta Rhymes joint?
Yeah.
All right. We'll play that. That's on the B side of Oh My God, right? What was it again?
Was it?
No. It was Oh My God.
No, Lyrics to Go was on the B side.
No, it was all three. It was Oh My God.
Okay, you're right.
Oh My God remix, okay, Lyrics to Go, yeah. And 1-2. That's a hot sing, by the way. You guys.
He's right.
You really came
He's
with.
He's right.
And then you got, look, Scenario's right over there. You got Scenario remix, and then Butter on the joint.
Yeah.
You guys did a 12. You guys made the DJ so happy.
Pretty much.
I expect the same.
Yeah.
Although the last album, Love Movement, you guys were just coming with the A-side instrumental, B-side instrumental.
It was the relationship deteriorated.
It was time to just get the joints out.
Hey, look.
Let's get just give them the shit. All right, we're going to hang out with Fife Dawg. We're going to play 1-2 shit. We're allowed to cuss here, too.
Oh, fucking A.
We're going to play 1-2 shit.
That's only right.
The Tribe Called Quest classic right here. We'll be right back. Yeah. Back with Fife from A Tribe Called Quest, playing the classics, hanging out.
Yeah.
We're going to get to your single in a minute. Let's talk about sports for a minute, though, because my whole time growing up, you were always first with the sports references.
No doubt.
It's always
and the jerseys. Let them know.
You did. You were very early on the jerseys.
Let them know.
You were wearing throwbacks before they were throwbacks.
Exactly. And the Cats was rookies. No,
no, no, no. But it is true. It is annoying because I've been in, because for someone like me and you, especially you, I've been wasting money on stupid authentic jerseys since before it was the hip thing to do.
Exactly.
And now.
Wasting money.
We are blowing shit.
But I'm not
getting my girlfriend mad.
I'm not mad at none of that. Nah, I gave most of them to my little brother because he's into it like that.
Oh, your brother
was
psyched.
He's like 11, so he's chilling. He's a showboat right now.
And he's got all the... Dude, yeah, you must have a shitload of jerseys.
Yeah, man. I gave him most of them, though.
I'm gonna show you what I got, see if I have anything to impress Fife. I'll be amped if I can impress Fife.
The ones I kept, I'm pretty much going to frame them and put them in this one room in my crib.
Are they originals or throwbacks?
They're pretty much originals. Like, I have Marshall Faulk's Indianapolis jersey.
Oh, that's hot.
You know what
white
I'm saying?
White or blue?
Both.
Oh.
The white one and the blue one. That's my boy, though.
Oh, right, right. You know a bunch of NFL players, right?
Yeah, that's my man right there.
Okay.
Who else I got? I recently got a Dan Marino Miami joint.
That's just a classic. The
thing I'm into right now is the collegiate joints.
Those are, because you got to take it to the next level. Those are the hard ones to get.
Dominique's UGA, University of Georgia.
A real one or a throwback?
Yeah, a throwback. It's a throwback.
Is Mitchell and Ness doing it?
I think so. They're doing some of them, but I think the name of the company is All American. You know, like the throwback NBA joints are called Hardwood Classics.
Yeah.
The old school baseballs are Cooperstown collections. And the footballs are actually throwbacks.
Oh, that's actually called throwbacks.
Yeah, those are actually called throwbacks. The collegiate ones are All-American Classics or something crazy like that. You know what I mean? But, like, I've seen people with the Jerry West, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's hot.
I've seen a Pistol Pete LSU. Crazy.
That's real hot.
Crazy.
I've seen the Bird
I
Indiana State
jersey. Hank Gathers, Loyola Marymount.
Oh,
I went crazy. And then I've seen Dominique's, University of Georgia.
Magic's and Larry's I see around.
Yeah, I seen George Gervin's Eastern Michigan.
Wow.
And
those are the hot ones too, because the schools are so random.
For real, what I'm looking for right now is a Bernard King, Tennessee.
Dude, if you rocked a Bernard King on stage in D.C., you shut it down. Bernard King was the man.
Bernard King, Tennessee. A Len Bias, Maryland.
Hey, I've seen those around.
I need one, but I need the yellow one, the gold one with the red.
Yeah, the ugly
take
classic
it back.
Joint.
Yeah, the ugly one.
The ugly
lefty,
joint.
The ugly lefty,
Giselle joints.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. Are you a Knicks fan or what?
Yeah,
you're still a Knicks fan, right?
I don't know how. I mean, I guess because I'm from New York and I live and die with them.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty upset with that general manager, man.
Yeah, things have been getting pretty.
Like, he got me real salty right now.
It's been getting progressive.
Keith Van Horn? Are you serious?
Wait, did you guys make that move? They made that move? What was the move?
It was a 4-team trade. They traded Latrell to Minnesota.
Right.
Terrell Brandon went from Minnesota to Atlanta, the rights to Atlanta.
All right.
Atlanta got his rights. Glenn Robinson went from Atlanta to Philadelphia. And Keith Van Horn went from Philly to New York.
That's terrible. Keith Van Horn's not, no one likes him in any city. I feel bad for the kid. Any
he's
city
not
he goes.
Whack. He's not whack. He's soft. You know
right, but he's
saying?
Not whack.
But he has his moments where he has killer instinct and his moves are crazy. It's like
no, he's a talented
he's like
basketball
6'10".
Player. Yeah, and he can dunk. He has like night. He's comfortable getting to the hoop.
But
he can shoot. But he's
my thing is this. I think he's one of the reasons why Jersey didn't beat LA. I mean, well, they would have lost to LA anyway. But he's one of the reasons why they got swept. Because the only one that was actually balling was Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin. They were really going for theirs against L.A.
2 years ago, right?
Keith Van Horn ain't do nothing. Kerry Kittles did nothing. Richard Jefferson was still a rookie. You know what I'm saying? He stepped up a little bit this year because Keith went to Philly. You know what I'm saying? Richard Jefferson still has to work on that jumper. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, listen, as a Celtics fan, as fellow Atlantic Division rivals of the Nets, because I'm a Celtics fan, mm-hmm. New Jersey kills me, man. Like, I just... They're so frustrating because they got a kid who can make anyone good.
Well,
and frankly, I don't think their surroundings are that great.
The reason why y'all lost to them, the Nets, this year.
It's because Kenyon ate Antoine a lot?
That too. Antoine's a bum. I'm sorry.
People hate Antoine right now. He's over?
He's sausage.
All right.
He's sausage. He's not consistent, and he's trying to be the hero all the time. Get it right. That is Paul Pierce's squad. hands down, that is Paul Pierce's squad. You are Scottie to his Jordan.
Yeah.
And the other reason why y'all lost is because y'all got that bum Vin Baker over there that did absolutely nothing, and y'all lost the point guard in Kenny Anderson. Now, Kenny's probably not the same guard as he was when he first came into the league, but he knows how to run a team.
Well, and he got us further in the playoffs the year before.
Exactly.
I mean, he ran the team the year before.
He can't stick Jason Kidd, but he know how to coach everybody on that floor.
I loved Kenny, and I'm telling you, there are a lot of Celtics fans who are pissed to see Kenny go, because he did a great job for us.
He did a fantastic job.
All right, let's...
He's a vet.
We could talk about sports all day. I still have other stuff I want to ask you, but let's play the same. What song you want to play off the single? Because you got a new joint out right now.
Diggy Dialect.
You want to do that?
Diggy Dialect's my personal favorite.
Okay.
Little dance hall status.
Going back to your roots.
Definitely.
And you were always on the Tribe Records. Like you'd always throw in, you know, hints of
a little bit
of the culture.
Yeah,
but now you come a little bit more with it, right?
Yeah, right now, like on my solo album, it's gonna be a lot.
So your whole family is like straight from the islands, right?
Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago, moms and pops, grandma, everybody.
Do they speak Patois down there, or what? Is it the same deal as Jamaica?
It's a tidbit different. Like for instance, Jamaicans, they pronounce their H's when they're not supposed to, and they don't pronounce them when they're supposed to.
Okay,
maybe I'm saying it backwards.
Right, right. Like,
in other words. You have the word apple, right? It'd be like, I had a apple this morning. You know what I'm saying? Or the word angry. They'd be like, I'm feeling well hungry. Something like that. You know
right,
what
right.
I mean? And then when they're supposed to, like...
What if the word's hungry?
Like, they don't pronounce it. It's like, I'm feeling hungry.
Okay.
Like, ooh. Like, who? But, ooh, tell him to... Who tell him to come here?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Trinidadians, they sound like they singing when they talk.
Okay.
Like, my grandmother will kill you. Like, she'll come home in the morning. Malik, take out the garbage, please. Why you get up and take out the damn garbage? It sound like they singing or like whining or something.
Right.
But that's the difference to me.
Oh, that's funny. All right, you know so we can get a little bit of the Diggy Dialect right now on the new single. It's in stores right now.
Yeah.
I want to come back and talk a little bit more with Fife Dawg from A Tribe Called Quest.
No doubt.
Yeah, back with Fife Dawg from A Tribe Called Quest hanging out.
Yeah.
XM65, The Rhyme, we're doing it. I'm talking about the classic Tribe material. Now, before we dip into Tribe, I'm making a film about him right now, and he's my favorite athlete of all time, and... I think he's just hands down, and you'll appreciate this sentiment whether you agree or not.
Uh-huh.
I think he's just hands down the most compelling athlete, whether you love him or hate him, probably since Muhammad Ali. I think he's just, as far as his whole story and persona is so interesting. Tell me, like, when I mention Mike Tyson, what do you think about?
A mean son of a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I would not. You couldn't pay me enough money in the world to get hit by that dude. Win or lose, man. I mean, you know, he's gotten beat down pretty much the last couple of times out or whatever, but you still can't take nothing away from him, because when he was on his game for real. Lennox, nobody could step in that ring for the moment. You know, plus Lennox has a height advantage. You know what I'm saying?
Massive.
Back then, Tyson would have dropped him. Something crazy, but gotta give Lennox his PRs. But Tyson, I don't know, man. I think maybe if Cuss lived a little longer, you never know. You know what I'm saying? That was his mentor. That was his heart right there. You know what I'm saying? And once he passed on, it's like a lot of turmoil came into play. Robin Givens came into play. Her mom's all type of shit. It was disgusting. You know what I mean? And then as a result, it leaked into his career, and the whole Evander earpiece, and it was crazy. I think the first time he did it, because Evander's not stupid. Evander's pretty much not stupid. He was using that noggin for a reason.
And you're talking about the first fight now.
Yeah, the very first fight.
And he changed the fight with a cut he caused over Mike's eye
exactly.
In like the eighth round.
Nobody ever wants to talk about that.
No.
All they're going to talk about is salivating over the ear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was glad he bit him the first time, because I saw what Evander was doing. So now, being that he bit him, it's like, okay, it's going to be an all-out brawl right now.
Yeah, if you're cheating, we're cheating. Let's do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, tit for tat. Let's do it now.
In fact, it's possible. I was talking to a boxing expert who said they thought it was possible that Cuss would have said, if you're ever in a situation and the ref isn't helping you out, do what you got to do. And a lot of people don't realize how bad that butting was. Yeah. Evander's head. You saw what he did to Haseem Rahman.
Yeah.
Dude has a cranium.
Yes.
I mean, he's repping your city. Yes. He's repping Atlanta hard. But yes. Dude has a serious cranium.
He really does.
He's
a hell of a boxer.
And has a hell of a heart, too.
Exactly. But he knew what he was doing. So he cut Mike over the eye. So Mike retaliated by doing what he did. I was like, all right, cool. We're going to brawl out now. Let's do it. He bit him again. I was like, okay, your career is over.
Yeah,
that's how I felt. Your career is over. He got scared, I think. He really got scared. And as a result, you shot your own self in the foot because you could have won that fight.
Yeah, why not? In fact, a lot of people thought it was starting to go back Mike's direction.
Exactly.
And the more of a brawl it turned into, the more it would suit Mike.
Yep.
How do you associate Mike with hip-hop? Like, I think you can make, there's a serious analogy between, like, Mike's come-up and, like, the come-up of hip-hop and how much he's referenced. He's got to be one of the most referenced, although I don't know if you've ever referenced him, but almost everyone else has referenced Mike at one point or another.
Yeah, pretty much. I think AI has that throne right now.
AI may be winning right now.
A lot of people reference him a lot.
But you go all the way back to like 86.
Yeah,
Tyson Bolo.
Like Chuck D.
Yeah, I mean, everyone.
Everybody, yeah.
I mean, do you think there's some sort of relationship between Mike and like and the hip-hop generation or hip-hop culture in general?
Oh, definitely, on the strength that he was a bully from Brownsville. You know what I'm saying? He's like M.O.P. in the ring. For real, I mean,
that's a great way to put it.
MOP is Brownsville all day.
Right.
They don't give a damn. Saratoga Avenue, they're spitting it.
Right.
And you got to love them for that. They're consistent with that. But Mike is Brownsville all day, man. He comes in the ring, he's banging DMX. He might bang a Redman tune or Fight the Power, Chuck D and him, you know what I'm saying?
But he was always repping hip-hop.
He was always repping hip-hop. I used to see him in the clubs and stuff like that.
Was it cool? Would you give him a pound?
I mean, it was too crowded for me to get over there. Plus, everybody was trying to get at him anyway.
People forget, Mike's stardom was out of control at that point.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, on a level that puts him in a real elite class of fame as far as, like, not many people on that level of fame.
You'd have all these rappers in this one club or whatever, and as soon as Mike come in there, it's like, who are they? You know what I'm saying? So I never really met Mike personally, though, like one-on-one. I think Tip and Ali might have met him.
I actually saw him like 2 months ago right up the street in Bethesda. He was getting food. And I just went up to him. I was like, yo, Mike, I'm a huge, you know, I just like, he looked at me like, I came up to him. I looked like a lunatic because I was all nervous to meet him. And I was like, Mike, blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, just such an honor to meet you. I'm such a huge fan. Gave me a big pound. It was all, I mean, he seemed super still touched by people really reaching out to, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing people don't realize about Mike. He's very much affected by what people think about him. And I think you can make a bigger case about how much that ends up affecting his performance and stuff. That's a lot of his fear, is his fear of sucking. Like, I think Mike always wanted to be something that's real hard for him.
That happens.
All right, but let's talk about something that's the polar opposite of sucking. And that is Low End Theory, because that Instinct of Travel set the tone, and that's one of the most amazing hip-hop records ever made. Let me tell you right now. Let me tell you my favorite Tribe memory of all time, besides my first kiss, which was to Electric Relaxation, by the way, for the record.
Hey,
first kiss. There you go. 1993. I was a little 14. It was a little...
feel like we Luther Vandross.
Yeah, you guys are my Luther. Whatchamacallit? On the After Hours on People's Instinctive Travels.
Mm-hmm.
Can there be a hip-hop record with more of a feeling? Like when I listen to that record, I feel like I'm with you guys, like, late night, like, outside the diner, out being stupid in the street, like, real late at night. I've never felt a record with so much just, like, the scene is just so set so well by the music and the rhymes. Like, you guys have a way of making records that create such a feeling, and that's just one that sticks out of my mind. Isn't there a line Tip says about... there's Fife going off again. Something about you being loud and like going off about some topic in the middle of the street. And I remember, but it was just so easy. It was just so easy to picture you guys in that state.
Real talk right there too, because I'm usually quiet when I'm around people I don't really know. But once I feel like they're trying to play us or disrespect us, and I'm usually the one that's on some bullshit. Just straight up, like, all right, check this out. Some might want to call it a Napoleon complex or whatever because I'm little or whatever.
My cat's about to lick your head, by the way, Fai.
It ain't even that. It's just, yo, come on, don't even try it.
Right.
You know, now once Ali gets like that, you know you're in trouble. Because that vein popping his forehead, like, right here, it's a wrap. I don't have to say nothing. I'm like, it's on him.
Wait, so you're a scrapper. You're what, 5'2"?
5'3".
And have you had to throw down before?
I mean, I used to scrap a little something, but I'm a little much more common now that I moved to Atlanta from 93. I moved to Atlanta, like, right before Midnight came out.
Okay, so it's been a minute that you've been.
So, yeah, I'm pretty much on some cool out.
The Southern hospitality is... Yeah. Cooled you out a little
I'm
bit.
I'm cool.
Slowed you down.
I'm cool.
All right, so
I'm
let's
a lover.
That's good.
No, I'm
let's take it to I guess 91. Because the first joint drops in 90, right? Officially?
Yeah, April of 90.
Yep. I kind of think of it as an 89 record, but I guess it was a 90 record.
Yeah.
And
album at least.
And Low End drops in 91. Just tell me where you guys were at that point. I know Tip talks about that he was living on his mom's couch when Low End Theory dropped. Take me to where you were at, where you guys were at.
I was living on my grandmother's couch.
Wow.
In 90. Well, I had my own room and everything, you know what I'm saying? But still, you know what I'm saying? We making rap records, still living with Mom Dukes and, you know, whatever. But it was all for the love of it, you know what I'm saying? And we knew we were going to get up out of there eventually, you know what I mean? We just had to work at it.
But you already had hits at that point. I mean, you already had El Segundo and Bonita Applebaum under your belt.
Well, People's Instinctive took a minute to go gold. You know what I'm saying? And basically, right before the process of doing Low End Theory, I was on the train one day. I just happened to bump into Q-Tip on the train. I was going to the city. He was going to the city, whatever. So, yo, what up, kid? What's up? And we had a long talk. He was like, yo, because first album, I was only on like 4 songs. I wasn't that serious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was rhyming. I was one of the first in the group to start rhyming, actually. But Tip, you know, he got into it. He got the right connections because I went away for high school, my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And by the time I came back, I got kicked out of school, whatever. By the time I came back, you know, he was like, yo, he was going to this school called Murray Bergstrom High School Business Careers where he met Mike G in Africa from Jungle Brothers.
Okay.
Mike G's uncle was DJ Red Alert.
Right.
So one thing led to another.
Boom, the promo.
Boom, 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 boom. So, yeah, be the front man. You the man. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't worried about that.
Sure.
Let's just get this group going. Because originally, Tip and Ali was going to do something. Me and Jerobi was going to do something. You know what I'm saying? Almost like what Wu-Tang set out and did eventually.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We was going to flip it like that. But we were kind of inseparable. After a while, it was like, nah, we need to do this tribe. We need to do it like this. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, yo, man, you wasn't really coming to the studio first album. You need to start coming. You know what I'm saying? You need to take it serious. I'm like, yeah, I feel you because when we were doing shows, I started to see the love. That we started to create a fan base for real. And I was like,
these are just shows in New York, little spots?
Spot dates, we go to North Carolina, we go here, we go there. You know, we were hitting the U.S. pretty well, Boston, D.C., all of that. You know what I'm saying? So I was seeing the love slowly but surely.
Okay.
But my mind was on, I was out running the streets, you know, getting my little dime bag on, right. You know, playing ball like I'm still going to make the league or some shit. You know what I'm saying? I really wasn't, whatever. I wasn't writing rhymes. I just go in and freestyle like, yo.
Right.
Whatever. So with that conversation right there, that pretty much changed my whole outlook on everything. It was like, yeah, you're right, kid. You're right. So I took what he said to me, as well as what I saw with those last couple of shows we did as far as the People's Instinctive campaign, and was like, okay, we need to step into this low-end thing. And we didn't name it at the time, but we need to step into it, like, boom. Because we had bad management at the time. Jive was being distributed at the time by RCA. By the time we dropped, checked around the first single at Low End, they had distribution. I mean, Jive was on their own. They were thorough. You know what I mean? We were on Rush Management by that time. So everything was looking a little different, a little powerful.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not to mention, I was up in the studio first, like, what? Let's do it.
Ready to go.
You know what I'm saying? Dropped the track. I was spitting all type of heat rocks. You know what I mean? So what people didn't realize on the first album, they realized on this album, Low End, that, oh, Fife can actually rhyme. I could always rhyme. I just wasn't there the first album, if you really look at it. You know what I'm saying? So that was the new addition to people, as far as people see it. That was the new addition to Tribe Called Quest. Fife is just not down. Fife actually rhymes. He's not a sidekick. He's not a...
He's a member.
Hype man. He's MC, straight up. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's why Low End's my favorite, because it was like our backs were against the wall at one point with people's. It was do or die. We had to come off with that. Jive stepped up. Our management status stepped up. Our rhyme stepped up. The beats definitely stepped up. Just everything came together lovely. And then Chuck D looked out for us.
Yeah, what was that again?
Public Enemy tour.
All right.
It was us, Leaders, Will Smith, and Fresh Prince, Jazzy Jeff, Naughty.
Wow.
Queen Latifah. That was a big tour.
So it's a huge tour.
And I always say to Chuck, every time I see Chuck, I'll be like, yo, Chuck, you are the reason why Low End Theory went gold, other than what we did for the album. But, you know, when you go on tour, people that didn't really know you or check for you, they're like, yo, who these dudes?
Right.
They going to go out and get the album because the show was pretty tight. That's when I used to lose my voice after the first record that we performed.
You go so hard.
I used to be so hyped. I had to learn how to pace myself. And that's another thing I big up Naughty for. I used to watch their show every night. And Vin and Tretch, how they went back and forth.
And they do a nice
whatever.
Show.
But Vin didn't have to say as much lyrics as I
no,
did.
No,
though.
Vin.
You know what I'm saying?
Little...
So it was like, yo, but they taught me a lot how to do a show and how to rock. You know what I'm saying? So
which songs
did... up to Naughty in public.
So when it was all said and done, which songs did you end up on Low End Theory?
Which songs?
I obviously Check the Rhyme and Butter was your joint.
Check the Rhyme, Butter. Why can't I think right now?
I know I'm
Scenario. Jazz.
Jazz, obviously.
Well, just put it like this.
Bugging
I was
out.
On all the singles.
Yeah.
Bugging Out. I was on all the singles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Excursions was Tip. What was Tip?
Sky Pager.
Did I kick around on Sky Pager? I don't remember. That's crazy, man. I'm old.
Mike, you know what? I don't remember if he kicks a verse on Sky Pager.
I can't even remember. That's sad.
I think you do. I think you do kick a verse on Sky Pager. I'm going to have to shake that out. But either way, yeah, your presence was obviously, you know,
real strong.
Yeah,
it was more prevalent compared to people's instinctive.
Was it intentional that on the albums, on the last, since the first one, I guess, you've on every one, you've had a solo song? You've had, your, you know, Fife's joint?
Oh, it was only right. I mean, Tip had five.
Let me get one.
Yeah, let me just get one. That's a funny thing. Butter. Me and him had a big argument over Butter.
Why?
Because I didn't have no solos on the album yet. I'm like, yo, can I have this one? Just this one joint. I got the perfect rhyme for this backdrop. Because the beat was
Oh, you'd already heard the beat?
Yeah, Tip did the beat.
Oh, Tip did his
beat. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, Tip, I just need one. You got five joints. Let me just get one. Blaze it. I got the perfect lyrics for it. He was like, nah, I think it should be a freestyle record and blah, 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 blah. A freestyle record to that beat? That beat is mad.
Yeah, it's got storytelling. It's got a...
Exactly. That's exactly what I told him. That's a storytelling beat. Even if I don't get it on my own, you need to tell a story on the beat. That beat is not no freestyle beat. The freestyle... Oh, I was on Vibes and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was a freestyle beat.
Hair Crazy Curly, me. Beat like Mr.
Exactly.
Like Mr.
That
Furley.
Was straight freestyle.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, this is not a freestyle track, man. Trust me. Trust me. So we argued about it or whatever. We was all in each other's face. And eventually he was like, go ahead, do it. I went in there and did it. And he was like, yo, my bad, kid. That shit is hot. The rhymes is crazy. I was like, yo, thank you. I was so happy he liked it. After arguing with him all crazy and shit, I was like, thank you, just for one. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's all good.
And date rape now holds an eerily... common feeling with the Kobe Bryant situation. You guys were kind of prophesizing.
Wow.
This is 3 years before Tyson. This mm-hmm. is the before the Tyson days, mm-hmm. and which also strikes a similar chord to the Kobe case. People should have listened to that record.
Yeah, for real.
You guys were kicking some serious knowledge. And also, by the way, Busta's Lament may have ended up being a real. That was your solo joint on the the last one, right?
Both of us rhymed on it.
He's on it too.
Yeah, Tip's on it.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that one's recent. I'll trust your memory.
Yeah.
Oh, you had whatchamacallit on the last one.
That was his name is Muddy Ranks.
Right, Muddy Ranks joint. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm gonna let you get up out of here, man. But I really appreciate everything.
No problem.
I want to tell you, I am beyond amped for the new, the day. I can't wait. You know how you have like memories of like the first time you heard a record? Like I'm looking. I remember the first time I heard a Ward Tour. I remember the first time because I was waiting for the album, and everyone knew at school. I was in ninth grade. Everyone knew I was like the Tribe fanatic, and I was like waiting. Someone was like, I heard PGC played a new one. And I'd heard Oh My God, actually, on some weird college sampler. I heard Oh My God, but I hadn't heard a Ward Tour. Remember when I heard it? I can't wait for my first memory of when I'm... I hope I don't get it in the mail. I hope I don't get the new Tribe record in the mail. I hope I hear it on the radio first, because I want that memory of like driving, like, Oh My God, Tribe's back. And just hearing, you know, the DJ, even though I am a DJ, I'd rather hear someone else do it. You know, be real amped to hear that Tribe's back together. And like, I'm just thoroughly looking forward to it as a fan, man. I know I will not be disappointed.
No doubt.
So no pressure.
No doubt. You're going to bring it. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm just excited to get in there and do the first record and complete it at least.
What about, when are you guys thinking about like the whole marriage family jump off?
I was engaged for like 2 years.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think personally, me and her are like this still. It was just a distance thing that kind of like, you know what I mean?
Could she still end up being wifey?
It's a good chance. She has a good chance. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because she know me inside and out, man. It's like, I'll visit somebody else. I'll hang out with somebody else. But a lot of times it don't feel right because when I'm with her, it's like.
You're a family.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
That's weird.
You know what I'm saying? But the situation, the intangibles of it all are what come into play. It's like she live out in Oakland. I can't live in Oakland, dude.
Nah, yeah. You're not leaving the East Coast, huh?
Nah, ever. Unless I'm making millions.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to pay me in Roots millions in order for us to live out in Cali.
I want to get a spot.
I like L.A., but that gas is crazy out there.
No, I want a spot in Vegas one day, actually. I want a spot off the strip in Vegas one day. I'm a desert. I like the desert. And I love...
It's a little too hot for me, though.
But in D.C., the hot's so much worse because of the humidity. In Vegas, at least it's
New
dry.
York too, no doubt.
New York gets humid, too. And if you're a sport... I mean, when I went to Vegas... I went to Vegas for the first time with my girl last year because her family's out there. And I was like, I'm not into gambling. It's not my thing. And then I walked by the sports book, and I saw like 70 TVs.
You know what I do when I go to Vegas?
And I can't leave.
I'll be like this. Yo, give me plus +5 on the Knicks against the Wizards.
I'll take that. I would take that all day. But no, I can't leave. I'll bet everything. I'm like, I know the Cardinals are going to beat the Oilers. You know, whoever, maybe Oilers aren't even around anymore. Any team, I can bet any game when I see it on the TV. And you can watch any game.
For real.
And just sit and order food.
I don't even watch baseball and I'll bet.
Oh, me too. I'm like, you know, I love the Diamondbacks tonight. I couldn't name a player on the team, but I'll bet them. Hey, man,
it's just a feeling, you know.
And when you're a sports head, if you walk into a sports book at like MGM Grand or something, you're done.
The only thing I have a problem betting on is college basketball. That's a problem.
Why? I actually like college
buzzer
basketball.
Buzzer beaters and stuff. I love college
basketball. No, but I mean, I like to bet. Here's what you bet.
Nah,
you
lose a lot of money betting
you take,
on college basketball.
Here's what I take. I look down the lines and I find the games that maybe teams I haven't even heard of, but one team's favored by like 25, 26. And really, I know the odds makers know they're going
to
win by 40
really
or 50.
You have to look at that then. Because there's not a lot of teams that's going to be plus +25.
But no, they're playing. I don't even know the teams. But I know that the only reason they're favored 25 is because the odds makers can't favor them 50. And they end up winning by 50, 55 points. But these are like terrible matchups I'm talking about. But it's hard to bet an ACC game.
Yeah.
Like, how can I bet Maryland when they could beat NC State by 35 at home and lose?
There's no way I was going to bet Syracuse against Kansas. I mean, I wanted Syracuse to win because I'm a Carmelo fan, definitely. But I wasn't betting that.
I did bet Syracuse.
Because Williams is due something.
Yeah.
He's due something. And he might get it at Carolina, too.
He might. I feel bad for Daugherty, actually. I thought he didn't do a terrible job. He kind of didn't get his...
I forgot all about that.
Exactly. Well, he doesn't have a job, so there's, yeah, that's a reason.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it kind of, and also I felt like Roy kind of got forced to go. That Carolina's a weird fraternity type deal where they call you and they're like, "Listen, Jordan might call you.
We did too much for you.
Right, you're done.
You gotta come.
Don't make me have Michael call you, because like it's
not,
a weird.
Not
thing.
To mention he lost in Kansas, so that made it easy. He lost again.
Right.
In Kansas, so it made it that much easier. Like Dean Smith called him, like, "Yo, look, you ain't winning out there.
Right.
Bring it." Bring it to Tobacco Road.
The crazy part is they would say out in Kansas, even without a championship, they love him so, like, he was, I think he was regarded as like a Dean Smith type character out there. That's what's crazy. Now
he's been there for the longest.
It's interesting.
Who coached at Kansas longer than him? Fog Allen or something?
Yeah, someone well before.
We wasn't born yet.
No, well before our birth. All right, man, we can talk about sports all day, but good luck. Good luck with everything, man. I really appreciate it. Taking the time out.
Appreciate it, man.
So look for the Fife album and look for the Tribe album, obviously, and cop those.